Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is sponsored by ActiveCampaign Go Beyond Email Marketing with True Automation by signing up at ActiveCampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months for free. This show was it's just like an update for me to learn. I'm into crypto. I'm into investing in it. I own a little bit, not a ton. I've owned more before, less before. The markets are kind of moving. I feel like there's more stability. And when I start to see, like when it's just a mad dash, I'm just like dumping money and trying to wait for the pop. Now that there's some stability and I start to see some trends on, you know, kind of revealing themselves, I probably should have done this before, but I want to know more. I want to understand the nuances, much like markets. I talk about on the Startup Showcase on Saturdays, I talk about markets all the time and why charts is one of the tools that I use to look into where I want to invest my money in the equities and capital markets. Crypto is another thing that potentially could change the world or not. We'll see. And all of them are different. You're investing in different cryptos and bitcoins and Ethereum and you name a million different coins and for different reasons. But Kraken is a company that has been around. I mean, they're as much as an OG as you can have in the space. They are. And they're one of the safest exchanges on the planet. And it's a place for... It's fine for you if you're new. Like, you can start there. But I feel like if you dabble, like I dabbled on Robinhood, I dabbled on Coinbase, then I dabbled on Robinhood. Now I'm looking at like real exchanges that I want to kind of get more serious about this. And there's just so many things that I didn't know and I don't know. And you will know a lot of it and you'll learn a lot of it from the show. Bobby Zagata is the CCO of Kraken, and he joined us on the show. And we went on all over the place, from like the global impact to why it matters to how it works, what is a halving? That's a key word that you might not know if you're just a regular trader. You wouldn't, you know, not that I'm not been at this my whole life, but I can tell you I've never heard of, Facebook stock halving. Like, it's not something that happens. And so I think it's important as we start to get more invested in these kind of things that you learn about that. So conversation that I had today with Bobby is fantastic. You're going to learn a ton about crypto, about exchanges, about security, about the reasons, about things we could have done differently or would have done differently if we could. If you enjoy this podcast, I think you would also enjoy the podcast that I've done with Republic CEO Ken Wynn, with Current Media, local Chicago startup Dan Novais. All you have to do to listen to those podcasts and many, many more, I'm missing. There's several. There's Digital Mint was another one in there. Jimmy Odom, BitCap. We've had a bunch of them. Just follow the Technori podcast on Spotify and you will get all of them. But anyway, this is my interview with Bobby Zagata, CCO Kraken. Probably not necessarily where every show starts, but I can't help it because Bitcoin and just crypto in general, Bitcoin and Ethereum are two things that for me, like when the whole rage came on, like was it November? Like when was the gigantic run? It was like November 2018, was it? 17?
2017.
Yeah. It's been that long. So that was when it was like making its ride to like 19,000 for Bitcoin.
Right.
Everybody and their brother was like hosting like know-it-all, tell-it-all, you know, workshops. And we got railed into it a couple of times. We hosted a couple of them. It was like, I just remember saying, I'm going to call it crypto for dummies because I am one. So I'm literally going to like, I'm going to tell you all the crazy stuff that I'm observing. And I'm hopefully going to bring in some people who maybe know a little bit to try to like paint the picture. But in Chicago, there really weren't that many people that I could call on. And I think it was like a couple of OGs that I knew from the Technori original days who were kind of in like BitCap and some stuff that were like, they knew what mining was. Like that was the barrier for success, I feel like. And since then, there's been a lot of ups and downs and it's evolved and there's a lot more maturity and da, 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 da. There was a little bit of a flash crash like a day ago. And I've like kind of been in and out of crypto on and off. And now it's back rising up again. I bought a bunch of it of Bitcoin back when it was like mid-high sixes a couple weeks ago, I would say, something like that.
Yep.
And it started to bring a conversation back with people. I host a Saturday show, and we were talking about just stock market, and I had a couple people call in, surprisingly, not like 20-year-olds, calling in and being like, so should I be looking at crypto again? And I think one of the funny things, and we'll get into this with Kraken in particular, but like one of the things people sort of forget is that it's only been notable like for the average Joe, maybe since 2017, for the younger average Joe or Jane, maybe 2016, this has been going on for a while. And you guys have been at this for a long time. And it's like, people don't quite realize the maturity of the companies that are truly involved in it, because the people who tend to be the loudest are usually the dumbest. You know, it's just the way it goes. And so you sort of know, like, if you follow this on Twitter or on Instagram, it's like, oh my God, Bitcoin billionaires. And but like, not like, that's not how this goes. So I would love, you know, some feedback on you on just one, where you see the markets are at right now, and then let's jump into the business itself and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, great. So this is a really interesting moment, I think, in terms of the cryptocurrency marketplace. There's kind of a convergence of some factors that people are really taking note of. And to your point, this isn't start yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2011, 2012 where it really started to become a marketplace. And so today, one of the biggest differences is there's real infrastructure. There's real regulations. There's companies such as Kraken, which offer a secure and safe way to participate. And then there's some other more market-driven factors. There's a lot of people who have a lot of money invested in the stock market. And they're looking for asset classes that are maybe not completely correlated.
Yeah.
Right? And there's gold and there's some other things, but those are more correlated sometimes than not. With cryptocurrency, there's an opportunity that's new, it's future forward, and it's not correlated at all. It's almost anti-correlated, which gives you a different kind of opportunity from a portfolio perspective. And then the third piece of the puzzle is, if you look at the cycles of crypto and Bitcoin in particular, it is cyclical, and there are some characteristics in the market that would lead people to believe that 2020 could see some real volatility and some price increases for Bitcoin. So there's a halvening event in 2020, which we can talk about if you'd like, but that's something that's giving a lot of people attention.
Talk a little bit about the halving first so people understand what this is, and then I have a follow-up question about the correlations. So let's start with halving. We'll work our way into the thick of it.
Well, so, you know, as part of the protocol and the algorithm for Bitcoin, based on how much Bitcoin is ultimately mined, every once in a while, the value for the mining of Bitcoin gets cut in half. And it changes the economics for that part of the ecosystem in some positive ways and some more challenging ways. But what it does do, and what it has, there's not a whole lot of data points here, but what it seems to do is increase demand for Bitcoin, partially because of the attention and partially because the economics are better.
So I think when you talk about this, and in particular the investing piece of this, there's like two sides of this, I feel like. And for if you were to attend the Technori Bitcoin Crypto for Dummies, I would have said this, which you will correct everything I say here. There's the side, like if I were on Robinhood, I'm trading it. I'm not using it. It's not application for me to take and like actually use it. If I'm on Coinbase and perhaps maybe a far more sophisticated wallet, I might be able to use it, and it might be an application that in the future I'm using it to actually buy services or products or whatever. I think that a lot of people on the trader side are, and this is probably going to be people who are not from your world of like really deep into it. I'm guessing that on your side, you're less of a trading Bitcoin than more of like a buy and hold. Or am I wrong?
Well, tell you, the answer is both.
Yeah.
Right. So Kraken is an exchange marketplace. So people can come to buy and sell. And a significant number of our 4 million clients are what we call hodlers.
Yep.
That's the Bitcoin term. But they're there as investors. They believe it's a store of value. They believe that it's different from their other investment opportunities, and they want a slice of their portfolio in it. So they buy it, they hold it, or else they manage their own portfolio of cryptocurrencies. It's not just Bitcoin, of course. There's many currencies that each have a slightly different value proposition for an investor. So there's that. Now, however, there's also a very active trading marketplace on Kraken and other exchanges where people are going to try to create alpha in the marketplace. In other words, advantages for their themselves as a trader across different currencies. There's arbitrage plays and all these things. These are very, very well-known Chicago strategies.
Yeah.
But instead of pork bellies or commodities or the world I came from, it's cryptocurrencies.
So I guess the reason I bring that up is when you talk about correlations and the different reasons why people would invest in this versus gold as an example or other, I've had this sort of theory, and it's probably completely wrong, but I look at like certain times when trading is down on your normal traditional stocks, or the markets have hit a recession, or whatever the reason for you, whatever the changing in the environment is, I tend to see spikes. And then there's also, like, this is like not as often now as it was maybe a couple of years ago or even a year ago, but in the middle of the night, you would see a lot of those on the other side of the world trading in crazy volume. And the numbers, like, you'd wake up and be like, it was like a 12% flip here, like, good or bad. I'm like, what is going on? I feel like a lot of people who come from the normal investing world are looking at this and going, are there, like, is there a signal that I should be focusing attention on crypto because things are not going, like, let's just say hypothetically, we had a recession just started now. Let's say right now, because of this show, everything started sliding. And would I see more people move over and start investing or buying and trading in coin, in crypto? Would there be a correlation there? Or would you feel like that's completely just projection, not real?
Yeah, it's a great question. I wish I had a complete
I wish
answer,
I had your
right?
answer, too.
We could do a lot if we could figure that out.
I was going to say, we'd be in good
but,
shape.
I will say this. Some kind of obvious things that create dynamics in the traditional marketplace create different dynamics in the crypto marketplace. So, for instance, disruption globally generally creates depression in the equities marketplace, but it generally creates an increase in investment and pricing in the crypto marketplace. So the actions that our country took in Iraq recently created, you can very clearly see the charts. As expected, the equities markets, all the uncertainty, creates some weight on those, and people are more likely to invest in cryptocurrency markets when those markets are sliding. There's the future of cryptocurrency is still being written and still being defined, but I think most people acknowledge that it has a different kind of safety to it than, kind of traditional equities or commodities or even gold. Because it's independent of the traditional kind of infrastructure.
I think it's interesting you brought up the gold thing, and I've heard several people with the reference to it's like gold, but then it's not like gold. And and it's not, I guess I'd love more clarity from your vantage point of that, because I feel like I can almost sit here and say I totally get what you're saying when you're like, oh, it's kind of like gold. And it's like, but I also get what you're saying when you're like, it's not at all like gold.
Yeah.
So, how would you, if you had to describe an asset class, like, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's difficult. I other than to say it's not correlated to anything.
It's like gold, it just can't become a ring, that's all.
It's the same. How cool if it could be. But the thing with gold is its value to some degree is tied to the fact that the supply is perceived
scarcity.
To be finite, right? There's scarcity, but nobody really knows what the ultimate supply is, and there's a lot of interesting dynamics in that kind of value chain.
Yeah.
From mining to, from a Bitcoin perspective, it's a very, very defined situation from a scarcity. There's 21 million Bitcoin that will ever exist. The algorithm and the program does not permit, it's not possible to do anything outside of that with Bitcoin.
Yep.
So there's a lot more definition to what's possible, and the scarcity angle of it is more defined, at least for me.
Yeah.
However, gold is a commodity that is, for some, a portfolio play versus equities. This also is that, or at least that's the way I view it. So there's some similarities there in why you might invest in gold and why you might invest in a cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
The other thing to say about cryptocurrencies is many of them have very specific use cases in mind and built into their architecture. So there's an upside level for cryptocurrencies that doesn't exist for gold, right? Because if one or more of those cryptocurrencies becomes a completely accepted way to transact somewhere on something, then the value of that is also going
to... I think that to me is, and we're going to spin this into the actual business and how you guys,
sure.
do things and your backgrounds. But this is the part to me that I wish... And there's no way to do this, but I wish that there was like a restart button with like society. Because you go back to like the Crypto for Dummies things that we host, and it's like, if I could go back in time, I probably wouldn't do it. But if I could go back in time and explain to people not to look at this as like, and this is, I mean, it's funny to say this is the Wayback Machine, 2016, the Wayback Machine. when you look at all of the different cryptocurrencies that are around, there were a lot of people in the circle that we were seeing, which were not, I mean, there's a lot of people who were investors. Like, there weren't, it's not just, it's not literally dummies. And the idea was like, well, one of these is going to be like the universal, you know, currency for the world. And we're like placing bets on which, like, it's Ethereum, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's Toro. It's all these random things. Like, that was the wrong way to look at it. And it got everybody who's like outside looking in retail completely confused. And they stopped doing research and they stopped learning and they just started betting. And it was like, that's part of the reason that a lot of people got really rich and poor. But like, if we could go back and say, no, 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 think very specifically. If you were insurance, if you could solve this one thing, if you could make it easier for all of your constituents or your clients or whatever they are to transact on your platform in a way that tracked and was honest and it was decentralized, and it was all these different things, this would be a great way to do it. And now you can use that value and trade it for another one. The common currency might be Bitcoin. So you're going to turn to that. And this is how we exchange and do business across the world without having to pay stupid fees and without having to lose track of receipts and all. You can't forge it. You can't screw with it. Like, that would have gotten people, I think, to be a little bit more intelligent about how and why they invested. And I feel like as a result, people would have learned more about the potential of it and we would be in a maybe better place. Now, too late. You know, I guess it's not too late, but like,
yeah,
you can't go back.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. I feel like the whole perception of the marketplace got a little bit skewed there when the kind of the hysteria hit. But
I had a bartender sit across me. Sorry to inject this rant. I was at I'm forgetting the name. It's like garbage bar downtown Chicago. I have a bartender. He's like 20 years old. He's probably 21 because he needed to be. Right across me talking about how he made 20 grand on Bitcoin. This is like during the craze and was telling me everything I need to know about being an investor. It's all over the place. And I was just getting so pissed because I'm like, I'm not a stupid person. And I didn't bet on that. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. And all those people, I would love to go back and find them and see if they still have their 20. Just a random sidebar.
Well, it's true. I mean, the way I look at it is not go back. It's just where we are now. So where we are now is we still have this education gap.
Yeah.
So we still have this kind of, I think, misperceptions or misunderstandings about the you know, the macro level opportunity, societal opportunity related to cryptocurrency, but also, you know, a pretty, you know, a lack of understanding of the different currencies and, you know, the purposes or the underlying architecture and what they're trying to accomplish. They're all similar, of course, but they all have slightly different, or most of them, you know, purposes in life, and they're trying to do something pretty specific. One of the things that drew me to the space is, you know, these crypto communities are really pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
You know, blockchain initiatives in corporations are also great, and they're innovating, but these cryptocurrency communities, you know, it's definitely more mission specific, I believe, and they're really finding the boundaries and pushing the envelope in terms of what's possible with technology.
I got to tell you, I can't wait till that Libra comes out. I'm just so excited. I was just reading another article yesterday. It's like universally banned by everyone. Every single person we talk on the show, who's like, it's just like Facebook's just, come on, like,
you know, it's
It's not to go. This is like almost talking about Donald Trump. It's like in this world, this is like talking about Trump. This is like political. Only it has nothing to do with that.
I know. It's funny because it has been almost universally kind of maligned. However, you know, for me, I have to think, well, who's maligning it and why? Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of agendas out there, and there's a lot of legitimate questions. However, am I pleased that Facebook is stepping into the void and trying to force some of these hard questions? They're hard questions for regulators and for traditional players in the financial services industry. They're hard questions, but I'm pleased that they're stepping into the void and forcing the questions, and let's figure it out.
I got to tell you, I think if it was anyone other than Mark Zuckerberg and that silly haircut, I think it would be a different guy. I really do. I feel like people are just like not – they don't like him. Like, and Facebook has all of the things that everyone gets pissed about, similar to Google right now.
Yeah.
If it was anyone else, even Elon Musk, if Elon Musk had been the guy who was like, we're going to do this thing, and remember when I was at PayPal, and this is I feel like we'd have a different conversation, but to your point, I do think it is all good for the whole, that like it's popular, people have to hear about it, like you are forced to at least read the opening sentence of whatever link you just clicked on. And it kind of draws me to one of the points here, which I think is important, is not dissimilar from most success stories in industry, or at least most sustainable success stories in any industry. The slower, and when I say slow, I don't mean like inert. I mean just sort of like they are methodical. The slow mover in the rapid growth scenario usually wins because they see all the mistakes that everyone makes, and some people will win quick and they'll go on and you'll be like, oh, well, that's a lucky bastard. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them, like, they can see it. And it's a very hard, that's a discipline that is very, very hard. It's a discipline that I think you guys had to have. Because you're sitting this going, there's going to be this huge flurry, and there's a pressure internally, like, shit, we got to run. We got to get this out. We got to get all this capitalized. And in reality, it's like, well, maybe. Maybe we just play the long game here. And you guys seem to have done that. I'd love to know more about how the role you play in the crypto universe as a business, and how you see things unfolding, it just at least in your purview.
Yeah. Great question. So, and I, you know, in essence, I feel like our CEO, Jesse Powell, and frankly, the people that came before me made a lot of great choices along the lines of what you're saying. Not rushing to the shiniest thing in the corner, but being smart about what the world needs.
It's
and
like
what,
a tortoise and a hare. It's neither.
It's, yeah, fast follower or whatever the right term is. Kraken is a $4 billion, market cap company, at least based on our fundraising, our recent fundraising. We're 800 plus employees. We operate in 200 countries around the globe. We have employees around the globe. And we offer 30 cryptocurrencies, that are very, very stringently evaluated and vetted. To make sure that we offer both investment and trading opportunities for our customers that make sense and are sustainable. So what Kraken, I think, has done well, and I've been at the company a year and a half, there's an awful lot that came before me, build a platform that is safe and secure for different kinds of people. So different kinds of interested parties, whether they're just wanting to get educated, whether they're wanting to invest and hold, whether they're wanting to trade, whether they're wanting to, make forays into different kind of global marketplaces via fiat currencies. And one of the decisions that Jesse and his team have made early on was, let's make sure that what we're building can serve multiple customers. Some entrepreneurs will say, no, pick your niche, pick your one segment and just, focus on that. What our team has done quite successfully is we said, no, it's a new marketplace and there's lots of different levels of sophistication, education, interest, and let's make sure we can serve all of them. Yeah. And then we'll evolve along with the marketplace.
So if you had to go and start everything right now again, what would be the one thing, not as a business necessarily, but even if you could just control the dialogue, what would be the one thing you wish people would know when they get involved in this, whether they're trading or holding whatever? What is honestly, it could even be, you mentioned this before, the blockchain initiatives and the companies. If there was one narrative you could say, like, listen, if we could just do this, focus on this, the world would be a better place, or our world, crypto world, would be a better place.
Yeah. I may not have one answer to that.
Ten is fine. Things. We got plenty of time.
One is that, we're pretty advantaged here in the U.S. given the trust that we have in our institutions.
Yep.
But that doesn't exist everywhere in the world. And there's some parts in the world where not only can they not trust their government, they can't trust their business community. They're also,
we're usually the same, by the way.
Yeah.
Business community,
exactly,
and the government.
Yeah, fair enough. and not unrelated, there's 1,000,000% inflation or whatever. Yeah. So they can't trust their currency, and they're just sitting there watching their life savings evaporate, right? Yeah. So part of the narrative should be, that this concept creates a level of independence for people of all walks of life from all geographies, and plays a, you know, can play an incredibly important role in people's ability to have great lives. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, you know, I would like people to realize that there is a safe and secure way to participate.
Yep.
And in fact, that the risk profile of cryptocurrency, I'm going to say something crazy now, the risk profile of cryptocurrencies, you know, might be better than some of the traditional institutions that we take for granted. Why do I say that? Because it's purely independent.
I don't disagree with you on that.
So you are in charge with that segment of your wealth, and you're not dependent on a bank or a government or a government-backed security or currency or anyone else. It's you and the technology. So that creates a level of comfort for particularly up-and-coming generations who have a different view of traditional institutions than maybe we did and our parents did.
I would pile on that one more thing. And I don't think this is... It's covered, but it's not well covered. You talked about, obviously, the economic stability for some of these parts of the world. I think that is one that is sort of ignored, is that for a long time, people have been trying to find a way to bring that economy into the global economy. They've been sort of wrangling around on the outskirt. If you could actually empower, I mean, a good portion of Africa as a whole, obviously, there's parts within India and there's all of Asia in general, like there's all these parts. If you could give these people an ability to participate in the economy in a not rigged system, the number of people and dollars, even if it's small dollars per people, and dollars being the fiat, but value, and put that into the global ecosystem of economy, the impact would be something you've never seen before. And that alone is like enough for me to be like, yep, I'm in.
Yeah. No, it's such a great point and well said. The economic value associated with the millions of people globally who are unbanked.
Yeah.
And they can't build
their
wealth.
I don't think people grasp that.
Yeah.
I think that's the education thing. It's like, imagine if I could, like, we should do this. We should do Crypto for Dummies 2.0, what I should have said 3 years ago. And I'm going to lead by just saying, don't spit at charts. Don't give me trends. Just understand the rudimentary value that this could potentially create. Forget about all of its own unique little things. Like, just the baseline, yeah. Like, pay attention.
No, it's great. Because it really, for developed societies, there's another lever there that we never think about, which is
just,
if we could tap into this, the economic value that is currently on the sidelines or unable to participate.
Without a way for their government or business or both to jump in and strangle it. Because I feel like that's been the thing that has gone on forever. And it's funny, like, even in this country, it actually happens here too. It's just different. But I mean, imagine all of the different people who are, and this is this is a tiny thing compared to the bigger picture we just described, but all of the people in the gig economy, like when we get to a real gig economy. Right now you have it, but it's sort of like Uber, like whatever. When you get to a point where we're all sort of independent operators of our own things, I would much rather have the security of being able to just pay and accept, and be on credit, and not be, well, I got upcharged, I got a haircut, and he's like, I didn't have cash. It's $23. It was 19, like 30 seconds ago. Like, why is that? Oh, well, credit card runs through the bank, and blah, blah, blah. You mean what you were trying to say is that if it was cash, you were just going to pocket most of it, and you're going to report, like, what, 15 of it? Like, come on. Like, don't bullshit me. You know, and that's a world that, like, goes away.
Yeah, well, firstly, at 23, that's a bargain.
I'm out in the burbs.
Yeah, you know. So...
My haircut's pretty straightforward at this point.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. There's so many frictions in the way we move money today, normal citizens, even in the U.S., via credit cards and other bank mechanisms, and we pay for that. And it's generally slow, and it's subject to problems and errors and fraud. And these types of completely independent blockchain-based payment and transfer systems solve an incredible amount of those issues.
Yep.
Now, the world is still building that, so I'm not trying to say we can do that today at this moment in every instance, but it's being built.
That's the one thing I think that people, it actually annoys me, is when you hear, like, it's a scam, whatever. And it's like, well, no, you can't do what it says it's trying to do. But like, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I showed you a picture of what Trump Tower was going to look like. I left off the name and I put all this other stuff, but then I had to build it and you got to see it. Like, it's real now. It took 7 years, but here we are.
Exactly.
If you could give people a word of advice or whatever it is, whether it's using Kraken or how they go about stepping their toe into it, or even maybe for those who are a little bit more experienced, what would be your advice to those who are in this, are in the process of getting involved in crypto?
Yeah, great, great question. So the first thing is to, you know, educate yourself. So there is a great deal of information out there. There's also a lot of noise.
Yep.
So, you know, my suggestion would be to come to Kraken, come to our website. We have a lot of resources available. And we also have, you know, live customer support for people who want a little bit more hands-on kind of help as they get into it. But the first thing would be get educated, because even if you decide not to participate at this moment, it's going to affect your life in some point, in some way, and it'd be good to understand it. The second thing I would say is, you know, security and your responsibility with security, you must take seriously, not just if you're in crypto or not, but in working at Kraken, for me, has been an eye-opening experience. I've been very fortunate to work at some great companies. But the level of security and how cultural security is for the employees was eye-opening. I thought I was joining the CIA when I first joined, and for all the right reasons. So it caused me to evaluate what I do personally with my life, and completely redo it, by the way. So that would be the second thing, is make sure that you understand the security. Make sure you partner with a cryptocurrency firm or exchange such as Kraken that gets it. You know, Kraken is consistently rated the number one most secure exchange globally. So that's something we take very seriously.
That's amazing. And I have to end on one final, I got to debunk something I don't know the answer to. And you might not either, so don't feel like you have to answer this. Have you heard of unstoppable domains? I think it's called, I'm looking it up and make sure. Yeah. Have you heard of this, the .zil?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I won't put you on the spot on this, but there's a thing. I had a couple guys send this to me and I was like, this just reeks of scam. It is a crypto domain that claims that essentially you have your own, like katoon.com is my personal domain. Katoon.zil would thereby be where you would be paying and not paying me.
Yeah.
Does that have any merit whatsoever as a thing that needs to exist, or did this guy just get scammed and I stopped?
No, actually, I think it does. So, and I have heard of this, although it's a little bit different context. But look, blockchain technology is ideally suited for, you know, very, very clearly and in a very immutable way, preserving rights.
Yep.
Whether it's identity rights, or in this case, it could be domain rights. Right now, you know, we're dependent on, you know, some computer system at some private company that could evaporate at some point to maintain our rights. Or in the case of identity, we're dependent on government agencies, and, you know, they've got to be really good over the long haul to do that well. Blockchain technology enables a lot of things. But one thing it enables is for individual citizens to maintain their rights for whatever. It could be a real estate play. There's lots of blockchain.
So essentially, I'm hosting all of my things that I have to my name on this place, and there's nothing that anyone can do.
And it's a public record.
Correct.
And it's unchangeable. And, you know, as long as you can provide the right access to it, it's a great solution. So
would there perhaps there's something there. Would there be a catch-all company that would do that, or is that something that does, like, inherently... Because in my mind, like, I'm not the brightest bulb when it comes to this stuff necessarily, the crypto thing, but, like, I am fairly good at picking out something that's like, this doesn't seem like the idea of blockchain to me doesn't jive with an individual company having the rights to enable me to have this domain or not have this domain.
Yeah.
It seems inherently like that's a clash.
Yeah, and there's both versions are, you know, kind of being built right now. So in other words, very public blockchains in which there isn't really a governing body. There's protocols that manage it for the long haul. And then there's private blockchains that are being developed by every company you can name. Whether it's Walmart using it to manage their supply chain, or whether it's financial services company using it to manage the transfer of money. And so every company, or many companies, I think, would like to own the blockchain that serves their industry. Sure. Or their customers. And but none of them are willing to give up, you know, and participate versus own it. So it's an awful lot to shake out.
Not a dissimilar story from, I mean, I remember like even 15 years ago when you'd go meet with these companies and talk about innovation. And it was like, secrets, no deal. And it's like, well, I guess we're done here, because I kind of need to know what you know and share what I know. Yeah. And if we don't do this, there's not much to talk about.
Well, there's a lot at stake for these companies, and it's a lot that has to be shaken out. But it's happening. People are talking, and they're trying to figure it out.
Very cool. Well, this has been a pleasure. I appreciate you coming in, Bobby. Where do people go to follow and learn more about Kraken?
Kraken.com is a place to start, and there's all kinds of resources there.
And someday maybe Kraken.zil, who knows?
You know, who knows?
The world is, who knows? Yeah. Bobby, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
If you've got any questions for Bobby or for me, feel free to DM me on Instagram or Twitter, @Katoon or @Technori. And if you want to be a part of the Startup Showcase, which is on Saturdays on WGN Radio from noon to 1, just go and apply. It's pretty simple. Go to technori.com. Boom, that's a wrap.